Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I am Keanu Reeves reference, I guess. Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Faster, faster.
It's a Top Gun reference because today I feel the need for speed.
I mean, yes, that's a specific reference this is going for, but it seems weird since that's a plane movie, not a car movie.
I mean, I suppose.
I thought we were talking about
it's also a bunch of video games.
Yeah, maybe it was.
And then they made a video game with movie with, I think, Jesse Pinkman was in it?
Okay.
Yes?
I thought we were talking about the whole thing about Keanu Reeves being, like, what, Shadow the Hedgehog?
Yes, well, that's a side joke.
That is also... What the hell?
Where I didn't realize when I started that joke that, oh yes, he's also Shadow the Hedgehog now.
What even is this world? I don't know.
If you're going to do stunt casting, that's at least a good one. I mean, I think the internet was pushing for Hayden Christensen as Shadow.
Yeah.
Which would have been cool. Keanu was like... Okay, yeah, that's a better choice, I guess. I mean, if you're not going to have Hayden Christensen, yeah, that'll be fine.
Do we know who Steve Buscemi is in one?
We do not.
Okay.
No.
I'm curious.
No.
Starscream's in that trailer and in the toy line, and he feels kind of like a Steve Buscemi kind of character.
It makes me sad that that's not the first Transformers movie Steve Buscemi would be in.
Yeah, I don't...
This is true. He tried to sell Starscream's head one time.
He did.
Oh, yeah, so it would be funny if he becomes Starscream. I mean, yeah, that it could be kind of a cool choice, but I'm not sure.
No, Starscream needs to be sexy. I'm sorry.
I mean, yes, he should be sexy, but...
I mean, are we saying that Steve Buscemi is not sexy?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess his voice could be dissociated from his physical form, but still...
A friend of mine once had a dream about Steve Buscemi that she described as powerfully erotic.
He was a
firefighter.
I don't know, man. Everybody's talking about Walton Goggins right now, and I'm just like, I sure am a lesbian.
I don't get that one either. Well, because he's in the new what you call it show, Fallout. Of course, missing a nose because he's playing some weird character, but
he's a ghoul.
He's like a zombie cowboy or something. But, I mean, he's not a bad-looking guy, Walton Goggins. He's got a certain charm.
I guess he falls into the Tumblr sexy man. It's like, no, it's not really sexy, but, okay, you do you.
Well, that's just as the ghoul. And, honestly, they were doing that with Hancock in Fallout 4, who was also a ghoul.
I'm also thinking of Boyd Crowder here from Justified.
I guess I have to Google whoever the fuck that is.
Or if you prefer Uncle Baby Billy.
Anyway, speaking of sexy characters.
Yes, so this is the 20th episode of season 4, so it is the 420 episode.
Oh, it's not 420. I mean, it's a 420 episode, but it's not, like, thematically appropriate.
No,
it aired September 10th, 2016.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's also the 98th episode of Rescue Bots, which means that it now ties Generation 1 for longest...
This is Rebirth Part 3 territory.
That's right.
Here.
I guess unless you count, like, what did they cut the movie into, like, 5 parts?
Four parts? I think it was 5 parts.
Was it, like, some extra Tommy Kennedy in there?
Yes. Man, someone said that they need to make that masterpiece Jinrai look like the Power Master Prime with the Tommy Kennedy.
He comes like a tiny Tommy Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yes, I might pay several hundred dollars for that.
Yeah.
And written by longtime show favorite Margaret Scott.
Oh yeah.
I will note that I got about 2 minutes into this episode and I was like, "Who wrote this?" Because there are some high-end reference drops here pretty early on.
Oh, yeah, in like the first 30 seconds, basically.
Yeah, this is her fifth and final episode of Rescue Bots, but we'll be hearing from her again on Cyberverse.
Yes.
Although I think she only did one episode there, unfortunately.
It's Cyberverse, so.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so, we open, and Blur is once again on this tiny slot car track, having shrunk himself down.
He's having fun.
He's impersonating Circuit here. What? And he is competing against Override and Race Master.
Yes.
Race Master is not a great name choice to use. I mean, yes, it's
a lot better than his last one when he switched the two names around. He was Master Race. Things got really uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, but Override was neat.
Especially when he...
Circuit, we will note, is often seen as a television reporter in IDW stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, the real problem was when Racemaster had that race against Rev, the Robots in Disguise Spy Changer.
Because,
of course,
Rev vehicle.
Stands for Race Evolution Vehicle, and he has a big eagle on his hood.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That one is aged badly.
I mean, I think they changed it to Race Exertion Vehicle in, like, later releases, because somebody saw that and was like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to interfere with your work here, but also, have you ever heard of Hitler?
Unfortunately.
Speaking of 420, unfortunately.
Yeah. I for 420, I still prefer the theory that it originates from a reference in a really obscure H.P. Lovecraft story. Oh, shit, that's another racist.
Oh, I'm checking out the TF Wiki here, and I didn't realize that Racemaster is actually an alternate name for Rapido.
Oh!
That's right.
A longtime favorite of mine.
Yeah. Rapido would have been a better reference. But
I guess he has the Racemaster name in the IDW comics.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which Maverick Scott wrote.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, he's imagining himself on Velocitron or something. But before he gets to the finish line, he was all, hey, we have a job. So we gotta go.
There's a thing in this episode that almost references last episode. When he's on the racetrack, he sort of smacks into a lawn gnome on the racetrack.
Yes.
It's like there was a gnome in the last episode. Is this a new recurring thing?
Also, as soon as Heatwave shows up, Blur immediately says, I wasn't talking to myself. And then they tell the... Heatwave tells the system to maximize.
And, of course, Blur is very flattered to have been chosen for this mission, but as Heatwave reminds him... nobody else was available.
He's so mean to Blur. He just does not want to be working with him, and he is not afraid to show it, and it's very mean, and I feel sorry for him.
This is true, but also Blur deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
not unfair.
Blur's not a utterly horrible guy, but he's like that annoying coworker you have to put up with who's not the worst coworker ever, but it's like, why you?
Heatwave tells him that he can't just keep pretending that he's as fast as Override.
So they get to these coordinates that have been provided, and they find there's Cade, and there's a bunch of green slime. It's possible that this is a return of the Squilch. And Blur immediately charges headlong into it and just splatters this all over Cade.
Peril! Time for the opening credits.
The peril of... Blur's about to kill Cade in the peril. By sideswiping.
I mean, the real problem is that Cade just said, I don't know.
And he would never say that.
And as everybody knows, you can't do that on Rescue Bots.
Oh. So now he is going to get slimed.
But no, luckily it turns out that this was just Doc Green's self-replicating cake frosting, which sounds terrifying.
As opposed to previous self-break... I mean, it's probably less dangerous than the yeast?
Yeah, I was thinking about the pizza crust.
My worry is that it wouldn't stop self-replicating after you eat it.
Oh, that could
be a concern.
Oh, no.
But it is... It is pistachio mint flavored.
Is it possible that, Doc Green just discovered the stuff?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Are you eating it, or is it eating you?
Oh, no. Doc Green becomes a new chocolate chip Charlie. No.
Well, Kate is definitely eating it.
I mean, yes.
Was this a Monster Down movie, or have you just both independently seen the stuff?
No, it was a Monster Down movie, wasn't it?
I missed the week that we watched it, but it was a Monster Down movie. I was doing something else that week.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Well, of course.
Like, watching people go through that, and it's like, oh no! Wait! The racists are the good guys? What? That third act is nuts. It was kind of weird in the way that werewolf movie was, but actually good.
Oh yes, The Werewolf of Washington.
Yeah, that sucker sucked.
Is that Dean Stockwell?
Yes.
It sure is.
It wasn't like, no, that might, was that the worst thing, or was it whatever after? That was the worst for me. It was like trying to be a satirical comedy without comedy. And from the 70s, so it was just not good.
A bunch of bad Watergate jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of bad jokes about caring about communists.
Anyway. Like
the premise wasn't horrible, but the execution was real bad.
So yeah, this is self-replicating cake frosting, and this was a test, and Blur, you failed.
Aww. Yeah. He doesn't think it's fair for them to not tell him that it's a test, but that's training.
So he just has a little pout and just races through town, almost runs down Mrs. Niederlander.
Be careful.
And hey, what's this? It's a bunch of Cybertronian graffiti.
Yeah.
What? So, unfortunately, I have bad news. The Battle Chargers are in town.
Oh, no!
I mean, oh, God. When I saw that graffiti, it was, like, so hopeful. It's like, yes, Beavis and Butthurt are here!
Not quite, but...
I mean,
sadly, no.
If we're going to introduce actual Decepticons into this show, those guys are of a proper level. Like, they're just two morons who go around painting graffiti.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, they would actually fit in as like, Rescue Bots level threat. But no.
No, instead, it is a Cyclone Minicon from...
holy crap, a Minicon!
Minicon!
We've seen a bunch of these on Robots in Disguise.
Yes! Yeah, the little ball guys with four legs. They were...
Talk like gremlins?
Yes. Oh, the gremlins. Oh,
my ball droid. I gotta roll that out of here. And specifically, this is Steve Bloom making these weird gremlin noises.
Ah, I kind of figured.
Yes. He has returned because he was definitely one or more of them previously.
He's a very fetching shade of olive and maroon.
Yeah. Oh, it's a color scheme that reminds me of something, but I can't quite place it.
It's a little guy. Just a little guy, a little gremlin. Oh, I love these little gremlins.
Little gremlin prankster just
running
around.
They just want to be trouble. They just want to be bad.
He's just...
the filthiest graffiti he can.
Yes, apparently some of this stuff cannot be repeated on a children's television show.
Yeah, which is nice.
I love him.
Yeah, so he tries chasing this thing down. It's just constantly punking them.
Yep, Blur reports back to Cody that he is in pursuit of a Cybertronian. And Cody is concerned, as he should be, but Blades wonders if Bumblebee is back.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants some more Bumbleblades time.
So they try and catch this thing. Apparently Chase speaks some...
Cyclone dialect is what he calls it. He says he called him a close relative of a scrapless. And then little guy paints something on Blades' back that Chase says he, it is nothing he would care to repeat in polite company. Scandalized. He's scandalized by what this little gremlin creature is painting.
And so they set up a perimeter to keep the rest of Griffin Rock's residents away from here, but unfortunately, Griffin Rock's worst truck driver, Jerry, is not paying attention.
Yes.
Damn it, Jerry, no.
As usual.
And yeah, he's got a bunch of terrifying gas canisters.
Okay, I will say, like, for accidents involving Jerry driving things, this one isn't his fault.
That's, I mean, fair. He should have been. He was looking at that clipboard.
Yes.
Okay. He was slightly distracted, but like the little ball guy is whipping by at maximum speed.
This is
right
true.
Through his truck.
And what's he carrying? Well, hubba hubba hubba, money money money. Who do you trust?
Oh yeah, his ha ha help is great.
Yes. He has some good old nitrous oxide.
And then...
That's right. He's got a whole truckload of Smilex. The rest of Griffin Rock, they've been using Brand X.
Who is it? Was it Danny that said something along the lines of, like, Jerry, why can't you transport normal things?
Yes.
It was like, even they're aware that, yes, he's a problem. Everything he transports goes bad.
I mean, at least it isn't this week's shipment of acidic poison.
Yeah, it's nothing explosive, acidic, flammable. Well, okay, nitrous is flammable, but that's not the main concern currently. It's just making all the humans giggle, and Chase is once again confused. What's so funny?
Now, I was a little surprised, because is nitrous oxide, do they also... Like when they hit the nitrous in those Fast and Furious movies, is that what they're hitting?
Yeah.
Like in the cars?
I think it's
the same stuff.
So I kind of thought maybe that would be used in this episode.
Oh, yeah, probably should have come back.
Hey, you know, you got to hook up one of those canisters to me because this is all about family.
I mean, actually, yeah, that should have been part of the solution of Blur thinking to hook that up to himself to go faster for some reason or something.
I don't know if that would work with Cybertronians.
I apologize that my Vin Diesel is just Brad Garrett.
Well, kind of, yeah.
It's all about family, Raymond.
It's either that or you're doing an Iron Giant impression.
That is Vin Diesel.
I know, that's a joke, but like, the Iron Giant is deeper than Vin Diesel's normal voice, because it's got
him doing an extra deep voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Well, whilst the human members of the team are having a real laugh, Boulder buries these canisters.
Fighting a case of the giggles.
Yes, just bury your problems.
He stole my balloons. Anyway, Blur is still giving chase. He gets out of the city and sort of into the countryside. And suddenly someone else is chasing him.
What is he giving chase?
It's a red car.
It's a familiar little red sports car.
That's right.
With some familiar, cringy Japanese on it.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it was that cringy. It was just weird. I remember translating it, and I forget what it was.
I think it's fast or something.
Yeah, like something on its hood is like just speed, and the other thing is something about the quality of his speed or something on his arm.
It's my boy.
So he transforms, and it is indeed Sideswipe, as voiced by Darren Criss from Robots in Disguise.
Yay!
Oh wait, does Sideswipe actually sideswipe Blur, or is that just a pit maneuver? Is that the same?
I think I'd call that sideswiping.
Yeah.
Which is not like, how often does a sideswipe get to sideswipe someone?
Yeah.
Yay! He's here, my boy. Look at him. He's so red.
Look at his silly hair.
He gets a sort of Robots in Disguise-esque makeover here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still sounds the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Much like when Bumblebee was here a couple episodes ago. He looks like his character, but at least the voice is the same.
I'm not sure his hair and chin translate as well into this style.
No, it kind of looks less like wacky hair and more kind of like he's got like a Jughead crown.
Yeah, it's a little too, I don't know, heavily lined.
Spiky.
But he is here. I like Sideswipe. He's like Hot Rod if he wasn't special.
This episode makes me think, it's like, which one do I prefer, Sideswipe or Blur? And I cannot answer that question.
I feel that Blur is a lot more belligerent and less competent.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Sideswipe in this episode feels like earlier season Sideswipe.
Well, this is earlier season Sideswipe because he hasn't met Blur yet, who will be on the show eventually.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're a little out of chronological order.
Yeah, I forgot
yes,
how much.
Yes, we're out of chronological order. This is like early, early Robots in Disguise. Because remember, they just met Bumblebee a couple episodes ago. They were surprised that he could talk. Yes.
Since we already watched it and we're doing them out of order, kind of.
Yes. And Bumblebee has apparently not told the rest of his team.
No. And also, Sideswipe immediately assumes that Blur is a Decepticon, and it's your own fault for being purple and green, buddy.
Yeah, yes, those are Decepticon colors.
Is this purple racism?
I mean, maybe.
I think it's more like gang colors.
Yeah, I guess. It's probably. I mean, you can choose what colors.
Presumably, yes. That's a thing. Some series, I don't think that is a thing, but. Well, this continuity with the browning.
Oh, God, the browning.
Your colors are something that can change.
The Bayesianing.
So, okay, it does sort of make sense that you see a guy in purple and with green accents. He's going to be a Decepticon. I fought three of you guys this year, that color.
This dude's wearing red in Crips territory.
Yeah, it's not right.
Or possibly blue in Crips territory. It's one of those.
I think there was one Transformers continuity where they couldn't change their colors, but
maybe.
Oh. I mean, I guess Beast Modes—you can't really change your color. You can't be like a purple rat.
I mean, not everyone. You're not changing them at will in all of them.
But presumably, you can like get a paint job.
Yeah, like in IDW, it was definitely like a paint thing because like Ambulons was flaking off. And
and Rodimus paints himself purple for, I forget the exact reasons of that.
Because he's angry about Getaway.
I know, but then choosing purple is an odd choice, whatever. It looked cool. It's just like,
spectralism. The answer is spectralism. Drift.
Anyway, so yeah, they eventually figure out what's going on. Although, yes, Bumblebee did not. I guess he's keeping their secret, ?
I guess he didn't tell them. Sad.
Although, my guess is he told the rest of them he didn't tell Sideswipe, because he knew he would not. Like, he probably told Strongarm.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He might have told Grimlock.
More likely, while he was telling everyone else, Sideswipe just fucked off for a drive.
Or he just wasn't paying attention.
Yes.
He was like listening to music or something, doing a little dance. And not paying attention to that.
I told Russell. I told everybody, you just weren't paying attention.
Yeah. But anyway, like Sideswipe's first instinct on seeing this guy he thinks is a Decepticon, flying kick, ignore the Minicon. I think this is a Decepticon, even though he's saying he's not a Decepticon. I'm going to kick him in the face.
Well, that's also classic Sideswipe.
Yes, and like 8 times out of 10, that's the good move on Robots in Disguise, but...
And sadly, we don't get the rest of the Robots in Disguise cast on the show at later times. Because I know that we get like an intense one episode romance between Chase and Strongarm.
Yes. Would they be best friends or would they drive each other up a wall? Would they get into fights over the relevance of a semicolon?
That's the episode. They would start as like friends because they get along with the rules, but then the entire episode would be them grating on each other's gears.
I feel like they would just fall in love, but they realize their love cannot be because they're on two different shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, too. That also works.
I just want Grimlock to show up. It's like other people with dinosaur modes. Awesome.
Well, he does mention that they have a Dinobot.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're like, well, technically, we're all Dinobots.
Well, technically. Oh, that's another thing. Like, Sideswipe is kind of amazed that Rescue Bots still exist.
Right.
Like, did they go extinct? What happened?
I guess they're kind of like pre-war, sorta. So
yeah, I guess the job category is like something that went away. It's like, how long were they in stasis?
It was a while. Well, I guess enough that that one ship crashed when they were like cavemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that could have been a million year, whatever years.
Poor kiddos.
Oh, now I want them to meet Tailgate. They would get along.
And oh, and by the way, this this minicon is indeed one of the Alkamar escapees, and his name is Bounce.
Yes.
You gotta bounce with it.
He is Bounce. He is a little gremlin.
Hmm.
And yeah, I assume his crime was indeed like public mischief and graffiti.
Yeah.
Possibly public obscenity.
Quite likely.
And also, I think they mentioned Sideswipe to him because I believe it's Heatwave who thinks that his name is Sidestreet.
Yes. Yeah. Does Which he think that's his name, or is he just being Heatwave?
I mean, a little bit of one, a little bit of two.
Oh, wait. He
might also be Heatwave because he hasn't bothered to learn his name.
Yes.
I don't know if we've passed it yet. Well, no, actually we did because Sideswipe accuses Blur of being a Decepticon, which is, unless I'm wrong, the first time that word has actually been said in this series.
I think it might be.
Yeah, because we've danced around it before. But this is the first time anyone explicitly says Decepticon.
Yes.
98 episodes into this series. Which is amazing. Well,
most normal Transformers shows would be over by now. We can get away with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's like the setup of the show is there are no Decepticons in this show. They exist. We're dancing around them. But to finally mention the name Decepticon now,
it's not mentioned whether Bounce is a Decepticon or not.
No, because he's just a minicon.
He's just a minicon.
Explicit
about
that.
Yeah, but a lot of the minicons on Robots in Disguise were Decepticon affiliated.
Well, yeah, but most of them were Decepticon affiliated because they found a Decepticon and was hanging out with the Decepticon.
Well, that's true.
It's like, we're on the run, and so are they. Fine, I'm a Decepticon now. But, yeah, it's like, almost 100 episodes, and finally we say Decepticon now, and it's like, it feels odd that they even bring it up in a way, but it's equally odd that it hasn't come up yet. Unless, I swear, because we've talked about it before, that, like, when Prime showed up, he would dance around, like, non-Autobots, but they never, I swear they never actually said Decepticon until now.
Mm-hmm.
And Sideswipe drops the D word.
Yes. So they, so, you know, it turns out that Sideswipe and Bounce just sort of had a ground bridge mishap and ended up off the coast of Maine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because earlier in the episode, Blur and Heatwave were coming back from Florida or wherever the away base is, the Academy.
Yes.
And there was a little spark, and it's like, at first I was thinking, oh, are they going to be transported to an alternate Earth or something? But no, everything was normal until Sideswipe shows up. It's like, oh, yeah, my space bridge screwed up. It's like, oh, that might have been our fault.
Oops.
Or ground bridge.
Ground bridge, still working out.
So, you know,
still working out the kinks.
Blur is kind of very impressed with Sideswipe here, and he wants some rescue tips. And Sideswipe is like, I've never rescued anything in my life.
It's like, that's which B and Strong Arms thing.
Yeah.
He has rescued in the past, but that's not intentionally what he was setting out to do.
No.
He definitely thinks that he's too cool for rescuing.
Yeah, that definitely is a Strong Arms.
But hey, maybe in a couple seasons, I'll recommend that you can join our team for a couple of episodes.
Yeah. Blur is 100% on board. He wants to impress this guy so he can go hang out with the B team.
That's right. So, and they've also got a trap that they are planning to use on Bounce, which they previously intended to use on Trex, the robot dinosaur, at one of the times when he became evil and or possessed.
Yes.
One of the several times that happened.
So they're planning, so Blur and Sideswipe, we're sending you to drive him into the park so that they can catch him in the trap. But unfortunately, he Blur almost kills a bunch of people. He escapes into the sewers.
They're told no showboating, and good luck with that. Because you send Blur and Sideswipe, and it's going to be 90% showboating.
And it's also here where they try and equip Sideswipe with the the Energize weapons.
Even yes!
He's very dismayed that he's going to have to say the catchphrase before he uses them.
It won't work if you don't say it, and apparently it doesn't. Apparently you have to say power up and energize, which is great. He is not a fan. It's adorable. He's so good.
I mean, as we know from his time with Bumblebee, not a big fan of catchphrases.
No. Not a fan.
So he gets into the sewers. They have to call in Cody and Servo, the robot dog.
Yes.
And so they do eventually flush him out.
There's so much property damage.
Yes. Oh, and Blur actually stops to help some people. Whilst Sideswipe gets the glory of chasing him into the park, and thus into this trap where he is unhappily trapped with a bunch of goblin jabbering.
Yes. Again, after so much property damage. They're, like, knocking over light poles. They're busting up cars.
Bounces into like, buildings and smashing windows.
Yeah, Bounces, like, doing... It's a good thing that everyone in town already knows about Cybertronians, because they would know now.
Oh, yes. Well, sadly, no Hux...
Yeah, no Huxley person. He's small enough that he could just be a rogue machine gone wild, as often happens in the town.
I guess that's fair. So yeah, they capture little goblin. He chatters at them, saying things that are probably not fit to translate in a children's show.
And also, I'm not exactly sure, at one point they're trying to wash off this graffiti. I don't know how this graffiti works.
Yeah, because it's sort of like a hologram,
it, like,
and
projects
it's
a hologram.
Up and
it's
down slightly.
Most of the things it's hovering over, but he does spray it on. So maybe it's like nanites that cling onto an object and produce a hologram over that or something.
Yes.
Maybe it's just like a visual effect so that it's on the surface, but it looks like it's raised.
Nanotechnology.
Yeah, I wish that we got to see more of the graffiti. Most of it is like really cool, like pink and yellow stuff just hovering. Except for when he paints a shark on a billboard, which was funny because it is a billboard of the mayor swimming advertising, I guess, Come Swim, and paints the shark behind him as if he's about to eat the mayor.
Yes! That was so good.
That was cute. Like, I wish there was more art graffiti he had done, but I don't know.
So, you know, Blur didn't catch Bounce, but, you know, he did do a bunch of rescuing, so hey, maybe you're not such a total failure after all.
Yeah, Sideswipe didn't even notice the humans in danger, because he's dangerously self-absorbed.
Which, okay, yes, Sideswipe is more dangerous to humans than Blur, kind of.
And I would say probably also more dangerous to himself.
Yes. So they convince Blur that he should continue working on his rescue work because he's already good at being fast. The rescuing, that's something where he can still have something to improve on.
So Sideswipe heads off with this with Bounce, and then a couple steps later is like, can you guys ground bridge me out of here? It's extremely far to wherever in the hell Crown City is.
Yes. To the ill-defined geographic location of Crown City.
Which, do we ever figure out where that was? It was like Pacific Northwest or something?
I think that's what we vaguely thought, but it's real ambiguous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely feels west, but yeah. Hmm. It's pretty vague.
Well, because it wasn't entirely all that far from where Prime was, kind of. Well, in the same time zone, possibly. Mm-hmm. And that was, or no, that was like Mountain Time, possibly somehow. That was desert. This was more forest and robots in disguise.
It's not an easy drive from Maine.
No. Yeah. However, apparently, like, blades can fly to Florida or whatever.
Yes.
So who knows?
All right.
It's
and
like
that...
trying to figure out DC Comics geography.
Oh, no.
All right, and that does it for the Need for Speed. This was a fun one. These crossover episodes are always fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Margaret Scott is always an enjoyable writer.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, I mean, like I said, the name drops at the beginning. I was like, this was written by, like, a serious Transformers person.
Yeah.
And I like Sideswipe showing up. I love more Sideswipe. Always want more Sideswipe. He's a good, like
and
I
more
said,
mini-cons.
He's like Hot Rod if he wasn't special. He's just a himbo. He is officially part of the Autobot Himbo Squad. Trans-universal, trans-dimensional Autobot Himbo Squad. That was fun having him in the episode. And his goofy head.
Alright, and then I believe that now brings us to Jen's Visionaries Corner.
Yes, so this week our episode is Lion Hunt. We are once again being graced by Buzz Dixon's writing. In this episode, we start with the Darkling Lords going before the wizard Merklin. They need to get their staves recharged, but Merklin's like, okay, but the whole point of me giving you this stuff was so I could make you guys do things for me, so you gotta go on a quest. And they say, fuck that, and they decide to go see if somebody else can help them out. So they end up discovering they run into the Enchantress Heskador, who is very much like a small, like, forest hag sort of witch. Oh. She's also extremely Susan Blue. Oh. So they butter her up and convince her to give them a potion that will help them out. It will trap Leoric in animal form, and it will be permanent if it's not broken by sunset of the third sun on the day that it's done. Again, three suns, that's a thing. That's a whole thing. You can't just have that. Can't just have three suns.
And how would the sun, like, the sunset, how work? That could be weeks.
I know. No, apparently Jeez. They just all set one after each other in, like, an hour apart or something. Hmm. So they now have this potion.
So just out of curiosity, are those suns named, Mike, Robbie, and Chip?
I don't think so. And I think they are also not Alvin, Simon, or Theodore.
And of course,
Helicus, Luicus, and Duethy.
And of course, the moon is Uncle Charlie.
Yes. Meanwhile...
New York City and Uncle Charlie, what?
Meanwhile, we check in with some peasants. The peasants are... You
revolting?
Know, they're getting by, but they're not yet. We'll get to that. They're not in love with living in the Age of Magic. They kind of miss being, like, people who didn't have to farm for a living. So they're generally not... We established that they are generally not well-disposed to magic. So... Darkstorm, Mordred, and Lexor. Lexor they have to have along because he can do the vehicles. Also, Mordred can do the vehicles. They truss the dagger assault up like a giant bull, and they rampage through the village.
Sure?
So we just see this, like, giant tank-sized bull that is clearly a vehicle, like, with a big, like, parade float thrown over top of it, smashing through all of their houses and their farmlands, what? And it's not cool.
Okay.
The peasants are like, man, magic fucking sucks. They decide that this giant bull must be magic. So they're like, it's obviously evil because magic is evil. However, there is a peasant lady. She's going to get a name. She's going to be a character. Her name is Fletchen. She says that, well, if there's magic, maybe I'll go talk to those guys up in New Valoric who know stuff about magic. Mm. So she shows up, and oh no, my Leoric feral ship is already run aground because Leoric is hot for this peasant lady. So he goes down there. He's like, how hard can this be? He goes down. He approaches the monster, being, again, just one of the vehicles with a giant bull disguise thrown over it. He is ambushed. He turns into a lion to fight his way out. There is their opportunity. They douse him with the potion, and now he is rage virus red.
Oh.
The peasants turn on him. He jumps on Darkstorm, but then everybody's gonna fight him, so he runs off into the night. And Fletching comes back, asks where Leoric went, and Darkstorm says, "I'm afraid the monster devoured him, my dear." And Darkstorm, of course, does his favorite thing, which is to demand loyalty from the peasants, and he will slay the monsters. And everybody's like, "Yes, we would like that very much." Fletching, however, is like, "That sounds dumb." So she goes back to New Valoric and tells the Spectral Knights that Leoric has been slain. We then proceed to have them saying the word dead straight up far more than I am accustomed to in children's television of this vintage. Because they're all like, "He's dead? Yes, he's dead." I'm like, wow. Not like defeated, not destroyed, dead. So Cryotech leads the charge to go slay that beast that took their leader down. Fletching gets back and sees that all of the peasants are focusing on fighting the monster and not rebuilding the town like they need to be doing, because they need to have shelter and, like, maybe plant some crops. But she decides to follow along. She thinks she sees the lion off in some ruins, so she goes off into the ruins, and Leoric pins her down, but then claws his own name in the wall, and she realizes everything that happened, that, oh, this is him, he got turned into this lion, let's maybe not slay him. However, the villagers see him, they come, they're gonna slay him, she tries to stop them. They chase after him, the Darkling Lords chase after him in the vehicle, and he gets to where they can't get to him, but he falls into a trap that is set by the Spectral Knights, so now his buddies have him. But they don't know that it's him, so Cryotech is ready for revenge, and Fletching shows up and says, "Hey, no, that's him." And they're all like, "Oh, okay, that makes sense, that this lion is Leoric and he just can't change back." And she's like, "How does it make sense that your buddy is a lion?" And they're like, "We can all do that kind of thing." And she's not okay with that at first, but she gets over it. Because again, they're not big on magic here. They summon the Staff of Knowledge, and the Staff of Knowledge tells them where to find this Heskador. They send Witterquick because he is fast. He gets there. She tries to attack him, but he's too fast. She says that she doesn't want to give him the counter spell because she trusts that when she tells people a spell, it's got to do its job, and it's bad customer service to then sell the next guy the counter spell. I mean, but he manages to...
that does sort of make sense.
It does make sense.
Like, keep your business.
But he threatens her sufficiently that she gives him the counter potion. So he runs back to where everyone's waiting. In the meantime, as he's running, the peasants see them all. Sees the lion and Fletching with three evil wizards. And they go back and tell Darkstorm. Darkstorm literally calls them serfs as he riles them up into a pitchfork mob to go and kill everybody. Fletching tries to stop them. She just manages to hold them back until Witterquick gets back. They turn Leoric back to normal. Darkstorm straight up is like, "Okay then, slay the villagers." But fortunately, the Spectral Knights are able to stop the Darkling Lords from slaying the peasants. The Darkling Lords resign themselves to going on Merklin's quest after all. So the Spectral Knights hang around to help the villagers rebuild their village after it was destroyed by literally one of the vehicles with a parade float over top of it. And Leoric and Fletching are having a nice little conversation, and her dad is like, "Oh, that's nice." I'm like, "Oh, well, so much for my short-lived Leoric feral ship." But yeah, she will show up again at least once later in the season, so that's it. Ongoing romance subplot.
Okay, so it's a love triangle, maybe.
Well, I mean, how so? I was gonna say, it is nice to have one of these things where the one token female character is not hooked up with the leader.
Yeah.
Because she's sort of got a thing going with Cryotech. But yeah, that's not a romance subplot. The romance subplot would be Leoric and Feral and Fletchen. So that is it. The end of this episode. We are coming up quick on one of my favorite episodes, The Overthrow of Merklin. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. This continues to be an extremely pretty show. As we mentioned before, instead of the usual people, Acom and all of the other people who did Transformers and G.I. Joe, this one got farmed out to TMS, who is an extremely competent studio. So I definitely recommend looking up these up on YouTube so you can see that this actually looks super good. A lot of the peasants just have like extremely generic anime people energy, which is fun.
Yeah, it like looking at screen caps, it's like that's more anime than most. Like Hasbro cartoon things.
But also everything else about it looks extremely like an 80s Hasbro cartoon. Yeah. So it's neat. So that is this episode of Visionaries.
All right, and that does it for us for this week. We will be back next week with more Rescue Bots action. And unfortunately, we are getting into the home stretch here. We only have 6 episodes of Rescue Bots left.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. We're going to have to do, like, Cyberverse or something.
Yeah, we're going to have to pick a new show. Do we have to do Cyberverse?
I mean, it's probably short.
That we kind of run it. Cyberverse isn't short. That thing went on for, like, 3 seasons that nobody watched.
But weren't there shorter seasons?
It was 10-minute episodes.
This is true.
Oh, right. That's the show we were going to have to maybe double up on episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. Or there'll be micro bite-sized episodes.
Possibly.
We'll see.
I mean, well, presumably for the first few episodes, it'll probably be like 1 episode. 2 intros. Like, our first episode's going to be long. It's like, what is the new show? Like, who's in the new show? Why is the setting weird? What's wrong with Bumblebee?
What's going on? Why is it like this?
Who are these
the hell
voice
is
actors?
That Cosmic Rust episode? Oh my god, the Velocitron episode. Voice actors? It's a lot. Why does the one guy just sound like the Steve Bloom we have at home? There is a guy who sounds extremely like Steve Bloom for not being Steve Bloom, and it's a little annoying.
I mean, yeah, well, there are probably lots of guys out there after Steve Bloom was everybody in anime voice acting for a while.
Believe Stoom.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For our Patreon members, starting at as little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly special episodes, which are always something super fun that doesn't fit into our actual regular series. For the month of April, we have celebrated 420 and the winning of the war on drugs by drugs.
Well,
with a classic, very special episode of Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. Where we get to hear baby Kermit talk about the perils of drug use. It is absolutely wild. We are still, I don't think, have we decided what we're doing for May yet?
We do not. We have a listener request that...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we can do
so
that.
So we may be doing that if nothing else comes up. But actually, that would be a fun one. Because, you know, I haven't actually sat through that movie properly.
Never?
And so...
Well, here's
never.
A hint.
I know.
Here's a hint for our listeners. Tom Paris.
Yeah.
Is that a hint
yes,
for our listeners?
Yes,
it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. But yeah, so it's definitely on the list of movies that I need to actually just sit down and watch at some point, because there are an embarrassing number of movies that I have not done that with.
It's a thing that I probably would have thought of eventually anyway. It's like, yeah, that fits into our purview of stuff.
Yes.
Toy-based 80s ephemera.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, that is... patreon.com/iaconunderground.
All right, so that'll be it for this week. But please join us next week when, you son of a bitch, I'm in. because we're pulling off a heist, baby.
Ooh, oh, I love a good heist.
I'm gonna need three guys. I'm gonna need three microphones, and I'm gonna need them all to be running Audacity. We're gonna edit the whole thing together.
Oh yeah, I gotta figure out how to do that with my laptop one of these days or something. Jen, do you have a laptop? Yes.
Yeah, like three of them.
Three. Okay, then I guess you're doing the recording for the con.
Four?
If we do
I have
something.
Four of them.
Four? I mean,
I guess I can bring them all.
Technically, I have two, but the old one is like almost... No, actually, maybe it is 20 years old. I'm not sure it still works. I haven't turned it on
I mean, one of mine is 3 years. One of mine is 12 years old, so...
No, mine's more than that. It was slow.
And has to be plugged in. I actually opened it up and disconnected the battery, so the battery didn't explode. But it's fine.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm the shape of things to come. I'm David. Record. Do I have wiggle? Yes, I got wheels.
All right.
My new headphones are doing great. I love these new headphones. They are definitely worth the extremely significant amount of money spent on them.
Ah.
Yeah.
I should probably get more expensive. The cheap ones I got recently kind of sucked.
I know myself well enough to know that I would just spend as much money buying other, less satisfying headphones that... Mm. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, $50 will be enough for me.
Time for it.
I should probably get another pair of Bluetooth ones. Is the thing. Oh, no, wait. I think I have a... Yeah, I got a pair of cheap Bluetooth ones. Anyway, go episode.
All right.